Hello.
Hello.
What's hidden? Right. So Sam,
Yes.
I rolled. So, you know how you roll for obligations and motivations and the like?
Naturally.
I rolled my motivation.
Oh.
My motivation is love.
Okay.
I'm looking for true love.
Great.
Oh, Kevin, you want us to do the destiny point thing?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone roll a force die.
What is that?
It's the white die. Roll
White
one.
die. Well, one white die.
And tell me if you get black circles or white circles.
I got a black circle.
Okay, so that's one negative destiny point.
I'll be taking that,
Shit.
thank you.
I got a white circle.
I got two white. All right, so far the pool is three white, one black, and it'll get different depending on what Nate and Amanda get.
Yeah, and the pool is pretty fluid. Every time I use one, you guys get one. Every time you guys use one, I get one.
It's kind of like fate points, but in a much more concrete way.
Okay. So basically, when we use one, it's like we can do a cool thing, but then you give the chance of the other side having.
Right. The thing we'll be doing most with them is downgrading the difficulty of our own roles, or upgrading our roles. Yeah. Because upgrading is fun. Upgrade. There are 5,327 results for upgrade.
So the July season of Hearthstone ended, so I'm working my way up back through the ranks of Hearthstone players, and man, it is just kind of like shooting fish in a barrel being at low tiers.
Murloc time.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm sitting here with a heavily optimized deck, and everyone's like, I'm gonna play any card I have.
I have 100 cards. I'm
Yeah.
going to play them all.
Today is the
Sounds
day I play Hearthstone.
like a
Call my secretary. Tell him I'm not
plan.
coming in today.
That was.
Tempo? Mana curve? What are these things you speak of?
I actually tried to have a mana curve. I tried to maintain a mana curve. Tempo, I'm a little more shaky with, but
I'm kind of
I didn't
disappointed.
play for a while.
I'm kind of disappointed. It used to be that you could make a legendaries deck out of every legendary and two Alarma bots. Now the new thing is adding in more legendaries.
Yeah.
What are Alarma bots?
Alarma bot is a card where you put it down, and if it survives to the start of the next turn, it replaces itself with a random card in your hand. Or
Oh.
a random creature.
Oh. So when you have only legendaries.
Right, you get stuff out like an 8/8 on turn 3, 4.
Wait, does it go back to your hand then?
Sure does.
Oh God, that's
Yep.
horrifying.
This poor hunter, I just played a Murloc and coined to add a divine a blessing of might onto it for to make it a 5/1 on turn 2, and he has no idea what to do.
Oh, I need to include that. Where did I put that? That's the one. Like, I don't think I'm gonna do obligations this session, but
Okay.
just so you guys know, you have 70 obligation.
Yep, we sure
In
do.
total,
I
yeah.
mean, you could. We just you don't have to introduce it. We just make it stress from it.
It'll just hurt us.
It'll just hurt us. Yeah. Hey, I didn't buy. Look, don't look at me. I only have default obligation.
I needed a
Okay.
gun.
You didn't need a gun. You wanted a gun.
What other gun would I use?
You could use a blaster with a stun setting.
Fuck you.
That's what I'm using.
That's literally what I'm using too.
But my
Unless I
gun is
want
so
people dead.
cool and it's actually kind of rare.
Also, so Sam, you changed your mind from Action Doctor?
Yeah, no, I'm doing, I'm basically doing Roar Jace, but combined with the Night Fox from Ocean's 12.
Night Fox. Okay, that's what, because, yeah, Nate mentioned you were playing a, like, a Bacta family heir or something. Mm-hmm.
Bacta. Nice.
Did you ever get around to reading the X-Wing book? The new
no,
one?
I still Mercy haven't read that one. The
You should hunt down Mercy Kill. It's really
good.
Yeah,
I need to.
It's been one of my favorite Star Wars books for a while.
Non-canon.
Shush you.
The canon is reset. All is okay now.
Look, we'll see. We'll see how much Disney decides to keep non-canonizing the extended universe if its new movies tank or people don't follow it.
I'm confused, Sam. Is that an obligation of 20 or 10?
It's an obligation of 20. It is 10 and then,
and then
plus 10.
For some XP.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay, then, yeah, you guys have 80 obligation.
Excellent. Even better.
So does that mean I am one of two people who didn't take any extra obligation?
Yep, you and Amanda. Only yep. ones who are team players.
Yep.
How does it feel? Are you happy?
I am. I like...
This poor bastard.
I'm okay with my obligations coming up rarely. It wouldn't make sense.
Lethal on the board.
Also, is listed as betrayal, which I thought betrayal was something you did.
It can be.
No, betrayal is something that either happened to you or that you
oh, okay.
did. It gives options for both.
There is a betrayal.
Yes.
It's gone now.
It's there was a betrayal here.
And can you give me the quick thing on Thyfera?
Thyfera is the planet that produces all the Bacta in the galaxy. Basically, it's been run by family trade consortiums for generations, and he was just the son the heir of one that got, you know, that lost, basically.
He's the Schoenberg of Bacta.
I think Viserys Targaryen, but less douchey.
I will qualify this with the fact that I think that I don't really care, but for the record, I don't think Bacta exists yet. I think
Whatever.
It's Pulto.
Whatever.
Oh, yeah, that is true, isn't it?
Yeah, since we're Old Republican.
I forgot about that. All right, I'll change it.
It's
the same idea.
It's basically the same idea. I think Bacta is just, like, more effective or something.
Yeah, more refined.
We're going full anachronism. I'm buying a Yuuzhan Vong gun.
God.
I'm buying the Millennium Falcon.
There's no such thing. They don't use guns.
They specifically do not use them.
No, but I think you could buy guns in that you got to have them implanted if you played a Yuuzhan Vong character in D20.
Yeah, there were Yuuzhan Vong rules.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
But why do that when you can just use all their like slings with their special bugs? That's much more hilarious. Thud bug everything.
Exactly.
Thud bugs and amphistaffs all the way.
Actually, no. Looking at the history, Bacta is a recent invention, but is around.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Well, you know, I'll just put Bacta / Culto, since it was Culto and now is Bacta.
Your family's on the cutting edge of research.
Yeah.
The new.
Well,
all this Bacta stuff.
they're dead now.
Yeah, they first made contact 4100 BBY, and then 3959 is the Jedi Civil War, and Revan conquers them.
Gotcha.
So about a 150 year.
Are we pre or
existence?
Jedi Civil War?
We are pre.
Okay.
We're in the lead up stages of the Mandalorian.
Cool.
Invasion.
Sweet.
So the Jedi remain neutral. This is post Sith invasion, though.
Mm-hmm.
See, Sam, you made not Jace. Meanwhile, I made not Isolder. S- somewhat accidentally. Because I was like, you know, Hapes is a cool place. I'll be a male on the run from there. And then I rolled the true love thing. And I'm like, well, I'm just Princess Solder, I guess.
Jesus.
500 years before.
Well done.
Nate is the only humanoid female in the party, so.
Excellent.
Well, I mean, Trandoshan is generally humanoid.
I guess humanoid-ish, but wizard person is...
Yeah, there's a bit too much skin there for...
Compared to a Chiss, I mean...
Chiss is just blue skin.
Yeah, Chiss are super humanoid.
Just basically, yeah. Chiss are...
Oh, are they?
I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah. No, yeah,
Chiss... more like insect-type features?
No, that's the, No, that's
you're thinking of the Keelik.
Okay.
Or the, think,
Or the Gand.
No, or, Vol something? Something with a V. Verpine. Verpine?
Oh, yeah, the ones that are, the super engineers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they're also insectoid.
Yeah,
they're
super insectoid.
Chiss are very human-looking, except they generally have blue skin tones and, red eyes that have, no pupils.
Yeah.
They just have their eyes are just all red. So,
look at Verpine. First quote: "We are a literal people, Fett."
Yeah, they're basically like those the guys from Dark Sun. What are those insect guys called?
The Thrykine.
Thrykine, yeah. They're basically the same thing. Just one is in a fantasy setting and one is in a space fantasy setting.
Bug spies. We were promised a dark sun.
Aw, yeah.
I kind of miss being a technician already. The technician was fun.
There was a lot of things I considered being. I was thinking of remaking a Star Wars character I used for a local game that I already played. The reason I decided against him was I already effectively played him for something. That was the character I played for your Deadlands game.
Yeah.
Effectively. He was originally a cowardly slicer in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah. But man, just because the mechanic gets redundant systems, bad motivator, and contraption, they're such brilliant abilities. Bad motivator especially. Once per session, make a hard mechanics check to cause a targeted device to spontaneously fail. You don't even have to touch it. You can just point out something you noticed that was wrong with it.
Bear in mind, if you guys get much more obligation, you'll be unable to spend experience.
It's true.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize that.
If the party's collective experience is, or collective obligation is over 100, no one's allowed to spend experience anymore.
Good.
Oh, until somebody buys off the obligation that you go below.
All right, Amanda and Nate are on their way back.
Luckily enough, obligation doesn't come nearly as fast during the actual game as it does during character creation.
Yeah. So here's a question. Is that a thing where you just, ask the GMs, hey, can I increase my obligation for stuff? Or is it a thing that you actually more require during play of? Do you have an opportunity here to get X benefit in return for gaining obligation?
Typically, it's the latter. And sometimes it's just, you piss off a crime boss, have 3 obligation.
Here's an obligation. You guys done fucked up.
We'll be getting a lot of obligation that way, won't we?
After character creation, though, I don't think there's any hard and fast mechanical effects to gaining obligation.
Yeah, it recommends you may take favor if you're trying to get something that you can't actually afford.
Right.
But
it's not can I get an obligation to get $1,000 here?
Alright, it's not you can intentionally say, I'm going to go to this money lender and go into debt so that I have money, but an obligation.
You can.
Yeah, you might be able to, but it's not a hard and fast rule.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're trying to come up with money from nowhere, you're going to have a debt.
I'm sure that my character will be entirely confident that definitely won't happen to him.
I like that if you don't address it enough, it gets bigger. Like, every time your obligation comes up during a session and you don't address it somehow, if you ignore it, then eventually, after three times, you get more obligation.
Oh.
It's increased. The bounty has increased.
Yeah. Like, now it's a problem.
The bounty, you say? Shut up, Rex. Get out of here, Rex.
What if you're the one who ends up with the bounty?
Then I will fight whoever tries to get me, as I would expect them to do for me.
If you have a bounty, will you still try and turn us in for our bounties?
I might. Depends where I have the bounty. Nah, I haven't taken your guys' bounties, and if I don't take it, I don't have to turn you in.
Ah, right. Because you take specific. You don't do like the open contract stuff. You hire specific. You specifically are hired to collect specific people.
I claim certain bounties.
Right.
That's very important because part of the bounty hunter's code is you never interrupt another bounty hunter during their job.
Yeah. Oh, Zach, let's make that roll and figure out whether you have the code cylinder on you or not.
Oh yeah, my. You want me to make my my
make the equivalent
roll?
A preparedness roll. Well, first off, what is it you want?
Huh?
What is it, like, out of character that you want to happen? As in, what's the success condition and what's the failure?
I don't know
how your character would think.
I think success is that I have hidden it in such a way that it's not going to be easy for them to find it. Like, I've hidden it in my room or something.
Yeah, behind a ceiling tile or something.
Or like, that would be a good success, whereas maybe a lesser success may be that I have it on me, and then a failure would probably be I just left it in, like, my luggage in my room where a cursory search will find it.
Despair, they already have it.
Despair, you have the wrong code cylinder.
He lied to me. No. Despair, he lied to me. I have the fake code cylinder. The other guy has the real code cylinder.
So yeah, go ahead and make that.
I want to get a hold of both so I can shell game them and be like, which one do you think it is?
Because they're not going to take both.
Yeah, because they're not going to just shoot you and take both of them.
That is a fair point. All right, so let's see. Vigilance is willpower, so I'm rolling one. I'm rolling one yellow and one green again, that I believe. Am I having any difficulty or anything to this roll?
Let's see.
Difficulty or challenge or setback or.
Let me look at your character real quick.
Go for it. I've got a willpower of two and a vigilance of one.
Make it one difficulty die.
Okay. One difficulty. Let's see what comes up. Okay. I don't think that's net one advantage. I rolled three advantage and got two threat.
Okay, so no successes and one advantage?
And one advantage. So how do you want to rule that?
Just think about it.
Okay. Turns out I lost it. The advantage is that means they don't know where it is either.
Yeah.
I'm also mildly concerned that that may be the reason they're on the ship. For this info, for this data cube or whatever it is that, you know, isn't worth much, but is worth a lot to the right people, basically.
Yep.
Like, you know, like it might be involved in a war or something.
Alright, I'll say you tucked it away in a bathroom light fixture that's unlikely to be seen, but you tucked it into a public bathroom on the other side of the ship.
Okay, so the good news is no one will probably find it. Bad news is I'm going to have to go through a lot to get it back.
Probably.
Okay, I can accept this.
Josh is going to listen in.
Sweet.
Okay. Hi, Josh.
Josh.
Don't you hide, Josh. Me, you son of a... hi.
Hi, Jersh?
No.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
So, I know that's same as a thief. What about the rest of you?
I'm a pilot.
Yes. James is a Rodian bounty hunter.
And a pacifist.
Amanda is a Trandoshan.
Are you a pacifist, James, in that you pacify other people for a job?
No, in that he doesn't shoot first.
I'll pacifist through your face.
That dude, Greedo was Rodian, right?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
Your reference was correct. Don't worry.
I'm not as good at Star Wars as I might be. I apologize.
You bastard. How dare you?
I don't even remember the weird noises that he made.
I was like that other guy with, like, spider head.
Ah!
He doesn't like you. I don't like you either.
You can be that. It's one of the source books.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I forgot what they're called.
Spiderheadians.
That's probably not far off.
That's not what I said.
Arachnodomes.
Arachnodome. Mad Max 4.
Oh, God. It's the worst dome. It's the worst of all possible domes.
I am excited for Mad
Max. Who runs Spider Town?
No one wants to run it ever. It's just a town full of spiders.
Not even the spiders.
Even the spiders want it.
I am pretty happy about Tom Hardy as Mad Max.
Okay. This guy, sorry, I wasn't doing that to you, James. This guy just conceded on turn 4 after at being at 27 life. Like, okay.
Well, guess I'm fucked.
like, cool.
Sometimes you can see things you don't have a chance.
What's up?
If you want to play a friendly game of Hearthstone.
Sure.
Sometimes you concede because you don't have a chance. Sometimes you concede because dinner's ready.
What's your battle tag?
That's true. What's my what?
Jersh. What's your?
What's my what?
What's your battle net name?
Oh, yes. That's a really reasonable question.
It is, yes.
Give me a minute. I'm trying to battle it. Here we go. Oh, it's just Lizard Beam. Yeah.
Lizard Beam.
For some reason, I always think your name is Lizard Bream. Like you're some kind of reptilian fish.
How do you spell it?
Well, when Lizard Beam is taken, or I'm trying to make a weird, like, thing that sounds almost like a name, I'll use Elzard Bream.
Oh, guys, I found out what the spider head guy's
It's just Lizard Beam, all one word.
Oh.
Any cats?
They're Aqualish.
Oh, okay.
It's not doing it.
They're in dangerous covenants.
Just add me. I'm Salkovich. Capital Salkovich.
Look, you guys are making me want to start playing Hearthstone again.
It's so good. Oh, it's so
I'm so bad at card games. Always TCGs.
Oh, that's because there's a number. I forgot the number.
Oh, you bitch.
What's your number? After the name. You should have a pound sign.
Number 1264.
And some numbers.
Friend codes.
Code friends.
It's basically so that because Blizzard no longer makes you like have.
And then it gives me a list of people I might know.
Let's see. How do I?
Cool. Oh, and actually, I do know some of these people. I know a number of these people. But I don't really want to add them because.
Did it give you Zach Kaiser?
How do I challenge you, damn it?
I don't think I have any. Well, I'm not in game currently because apparently there's a patch.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. So you'll be in game on Tuesday.
Scarp. Yeah, no, it is only 44 megabytes, so maybe by the time your game is done.
Yeah, so like midnight. Well, either way, I'm gonna keep playing ranked until you're ready to go. Yep.
That's reasonable. And I'm trying to do a couple things at once, but I'm leaning most towards priest currently because I'm a jerk.
opening hand. It's a decent draw.
Sam.
Yes.
Narrate this like you're doing a Let's Play or like a stream or something. I want to hear your commentation techniques.
All right, so I loaded in against a level 20 hunter, and I'm climbing the ranks back up to where I'm supposed to be at, which is around 15 or 16, which is generally where I bounce between. I'm currently playing a Paladin aggro deck. Pretty much we loaded in. Opening hand was Knife Juggler, Bluegill Warrior, and sort of champion something, the 4-2.
Scrub.
Sword that gains you life when you draw it. I shuffled that back, got a Blessing of Might instead. Yes, True Silver Champion, thank you. Shuffled that back, got a Blessing of Might instead, and then drew Defender for a one-drop. One-drop Defender, passed turn back. He played a Stone Tusk Boar and hit me, and then I killed him. It's currently turn three. I'm about to drop a Arcane Golem on him and swing in with my Arcane Golem and my Bluegill Warrior for six. And pass the turn back. He's at four mana, currently on the board. He has a Loot Hoarder, which has a death rattle of draw a card, so he kills my Arcane Golem, draws a card off of it, he's still at four mana, drops another Loot Hoarder, and he will hit his hero power and pass the turn back. Alright, the start of turn four, with Sword of Justice, Knife Juggler, Blessing of Might, and just an Argent Squire in hand, I'm going to drop down the Sword of Justice and play Blessing of Might on the Murloc, making it a 5-1 and swinging into face for 5, and pass the turn back. He will sack his Loot Hoarder.
Nice.
Against my Bluegill Warrior.
See, Knife Juggler's really nice with Paladin.
Mm-hmm. Alright, he plays Tracking, so he's looking for answers. Or trying to smooth out his mana curve. Sacks the Loot Hoarder for a card. Plays down his own Arcane Golem, and he'll swing for 4. Oh, and he coins. So what 2-drop does he have coming? Plays a secret. Interesting. Alright, so now we gotta play around that secret.
2-cost secret.
Pretty much all the hunters. Explosive Trap is 2. It's either Snipe, which we'll test by playing an Argent Squire. It's not Snipe. We got a minion down just fine. It's potentially either Explosive Trap, which deals 2 damage to all creatures when it attacks, or it's the one that redirects when it attacks, although I think that might be a mage secret. I don't remember off the top of my head. Either way, we'll play down the Knife Juggler now, and the Bluegill Warrior that we drew. Sword of Justice makes the Knife Juggler a 4-3, deals 1 damage from the Bluegill Warrior, and our Bluegill Warrior is now a 3-2. Now we can attack with the Bluegill Warrior for 3, but we risk losing both the Bluegill Warrior, dropping the shield on the Argent Squire, and dealing 2 damage to our Knife Juggler. But it would break his secret, and I think that's a pretty good trade to make. And if it goes through, we know that's not what it is. Alright, so we trigger the secret. It's a freezing trap, so now my Bluegill Warrior hops back to my hand and costs 2 more. Not a big deal, I'm not going to play that again. I'm still on the board with a 4-3 Knife Juggler and a 2-2 Argent Squire with its Divine Shield still up. And I'll pass the turn back. It's life.
I don't think I've ever seen anyone use Freezing Trap.
It's not a very good card. So we just had a Starving Buzzard come down, and then he unleashed the Hounds for 2, so he will draw 2 cards. He has his Arcane Golem up, and he just dropped a Timberwolf to kill his mana, so he's got a 4-2 and 2-2 ones out. So we'll see if he swings for the face. Oh, he changes. Interesting. All right, so he Hunter'd Mark my Knife Juggler for 0, and basically just gave me a 2-for-1, which I'm okay with, and then he swung to the face for 6. All right, so now with... Huh. 2 cards in hand, and my opponent hand containing 5 cards, and having just drawn a Divine Favor, I will play that and draw 4 cards, with 4 mana still up. I essentially just did his turn, but better. Alright, so we've got a Knife Juggler, Blessing of Might, Arcane Golem, and a Leper Gnome. Our Sword of Justice still has 2 durability left on it, so we can drop the Arcane Golem and Blessing of Might it for some crazy damage here. Let's kick ass. Alright, so with Sword of Justice and Blessing of Might on here, we're currently at an 8-3, so I'll swing to the face for 8, and I will sack his draw card buzzard for the Divine Shield on my Argent Squire, and pass the turn back. So now he's got a problem. in that he can deal with both my threats, but he's at 8 life, and I've got lethal on the board. Plays a secret and an eagle horn bow, both of which are potentially shitty cards.
Although it does explain the freezing trap. Silver, right?
What's that? Alright, so hero powers for 2. Here comes the attack step. So he sacks... That was really dumb. Alright, so he killed his remaining hound and his timber wolf to trade with my buffed up golem, and then swung to the face for 4 with the golem and swung with his eagle horn bow. Alright, so now once again we have to play around his secret. So there's a potential that this was snipe, so I'll play down leper gnome, because if he kills it, it deals damage to him anyway. Alright, it's not snipe. Let's try for knife juggler and then argent squire to deal damage. All right, so we killed his golem, and we'll drop our 4 power, our 4 mana bluegill traveler, or bluegill warrior, and tries swing to the face. Misdirection. So he attacks a random character with 2 power. He swings at my argent squire and sacks its divine shield. So I lose the card, but his secret's down, and I still have lethal on the board. He has 5 cards in hand, plays another secret, currently on turn 9. So he has to deal...
He's softly weeping.
Yes. Alright, so he flares to draw a card. He's at 6 mana. He hero powers to deal 2 damage to me, so he's at 7. Ooh, ow. Alright, so he drops Leroy Jenkins and does 6 damage to me and kills me. Ouch!
Oh,
literally, Leroy!
Literally nothing I could do against
him. Damn.
He literally ripped that off of his flare. Alright, well, that's unfortunate.
It's like that Penny Arcade story, why I stopped playing Magic.
Yeah.
Like, so I deal you infinity damage. What? How much? Infinity.
If you need a number, I guess like a billion? You want to sign my card? Alright, so we've loaded in against a warrior. We're still playing at level 20. We are currently the control side of the board. So we've got Arcane Golem, Abusive Sergeant, Argent Squire, and Knife Juggler.
You can give us the highlights this time.
Pretty much a perfect opening hand. Hey, you wanted Twitch stream levels of commentary.
Nice. But yeah,
play like Twitch plays.
Well, yeah, no, for that one match, and it was actually really good. And I do appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I'm actually amazed that I was able to follow that.
Yeah, let's do Twitch plays hearts then.
Oh,
play
God.
The left one. Play the fourth one. Attack with the third creature.
Start nine.
I love when people feel like they have to kill your leper gnome, because it's such a big threat, because they waste their turn killing it, and then it deals 2 damage to them anyway. Like,
so I sort of sympathize with that a little, because just like next turn it does 2 damage, the following turn it does another 2 damage.
I know exactly why it's a good idea to kill it, but it's just hilarious because I love the card, because no matter what, you're just playing into what I want you to do.
Right, it's a good card.
It's a great card. Alright, so I could coin for a Wolf Rider, or I could coin to do Knife Juggler plus Argent Squire. Kind of want to coin for a Wolf Rider, and then next turn drop down Knife Juggler and Argent Squire.
Man. One legendary I don't really see the appeal of is Elite Tauren Chieftain.
It's really good. That's the one that's a 4/5, and then when it dies, it's a 4/5 still.
Nah, that's Karen Bloodhoof.
Oh, right. What is the Elite Chieftain then?
Elite Tauren Chieftain is the one that comes down as a 5/5 for 5, I think, but it gives both you and your opponents some sort of rock or heavy metal based card.
Oh, right. Yeah. I forgot about that one.
And it usually just makes...
Oh, that's one of the, like, weird, like...
Like, completely changes the board, because it's...
Yeah, one of the special event cards or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
well, they're designed not to be, like, actually useful, because that would ruin the metagame.
Yeah,
so, exactly. Like, they're designed to be fun, but not good.
I like the one that just gives you randomly between 4 and 6 Murlocs.
Yeah. My favorite is King Koopla, who just gives you 2 bananas.
Oh, King Mukla?
Mukla, that's right.
Give your opponent 2 bananas that can be used as tiny buff spells.
Mm-hmm.
Plays a really good card.
Thank you. bad spot here.
Have you been playing the campaign mode?
I played through the first one right when it was released and did the first round and then started doing heroic and saw that the enemy character had 45 life. I was like, I don't have a deck made for this. I'm going to come back later.
So if it's the guy that had like an unreasonable amount of health, there's actually a trick to it.
Oh, yeah?
A lot of his cards have really good effects, but in exchange they create spores. And when those spores die,
he's talking about in the first. He's talking about heroic one, I think.
Oh
yeah, heroic.
Never mind.
Not I'm going through it on heroic. Quarter. I haven't done the second quarter yet.
Yeah, no, the second quarter. Yeah, that guy's an ass.
I like him though.
The second quarter's neat. It's definitely more dungeony than the first one. I know he's cool. It is more like a
definitely
boss fight.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching YouTube videos of a guy taking the legendary deck through the campaign mode.
Cool. I love when people just give you one for ones for no reason. Like, okay, cool, you traded your pretty good card for my shitty already Battlecry used card, and when you could have dealt 3 damage to the face. I'll take it.
One for one. By fire be purged.
What?
By fire be purged.
Oh. You sound like you were having a stroke trying to say one for one again.
Oh, hey, Josh has been added to this call.
Hey!
You want to listen in? All
right. Speaking
of...
Hey, Nate.
How's it going, buddy?
It's good. I'm ready to play some Star Wars. I saw Guardians of the Galaxy today. It was fucking awesome.
It so was. Holy shit.
It's so...
Mendon and I just came back from watching it.
It's so good.
I loved it more than a man should love a movie.
I love how many homages there were in that movie. Like...
Yeah, there were like tons, and they were so small.
Yeah.
Like references to other films and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you guys...
Menda, I think that's the last we're going to see of Power of the Duck. It's okay.
God. You know what I'm cautiously optimistic for?
What's that?
Tim Burton's upcoming film, Big Eyes.
Big Eyes?
Yeah. It's a biographical drama about Margaret and Walter Keane.
Interesting.
Which were apparently an artist and her husband who stole credit for her works for all of these like popular kitsch paintings of big-eyed children.
Huh.
And apparently, well, I would spoil them. I normally wouldn't want to spoil the movie, but this is actually what happened in actual history. In the 1950s and 60s.
Oh, god damn it. I hate hunters.
What happened, James?
Basically, Margaret gets all mad at Walter, takes him to court, Walter claims she's crazy, and then Margaret just challenges him to a paint-off right there in the courtroom. bring out two easels.
Objection, judge, I'm going to allow this.
Shit, like, that's awesome. And I assume she wins.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm here.
Hi there.
Welcome. James, I'm not cautiously optimistic, I'm just optimistic. I would expect to watch that movie just for the final scene.
Let's see, Walter Keane is being played by Christoph Waltz.
Oh, awesome.
And you know who's not anywhere in it? Johnny Depp or Helena Bonham Carter.
Thank Christ. Did Tim Burton finally emerge from his crazy cave?
Yeah, like, the only really huge names are Christoph Waltz and Terrence Stamp. I don't even recognize Amy Adams.
How is everybody? Sorry we're late. We went on an impromptu date.
Cool.
And this is my rap song. Everybody sing along.
But you had to hurry back for Star Wars?
That's yes.
Whack. By the way, I may have seen the most awkward moments in all of Tim Burton's films.
Oh.
The fucking dance scene at the end of Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. That movie was terrible. Just ask Hannah how terrible that movie is.
I get the feeling I'll be there for an hour.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Sweet Bandersnatch.
Let me get my character sheet out. so I'm ready.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Character sheet.
Yep.
We just watched and... that was basically a space opera, and I'm all for it. Was a space
God
opera.
God damn it.
You okay there, Josh?
No, because like.
What happened?
Because he's like, I wanted to say like, Bandersnatch. That's unconstitutional. Or something. I don't know.
That's what you're having an issue with.
You were too late on the pun. Get out. Just go.
Oh, this
it's
is
not that I was too late. I could have said it instantly, but I was fighting against it.
This is the movie about the famous painter.
Yeah, Margaret. Yeah. Margaret Keane and Walter Keane. Yep. With Christoph Waltz as Walter Keane. A man proven to play a good Nazi.
Wait, are we talking about Christoph Waltz again?
Yes.
Well, good Nazi is debatable in that movie.
A high quality Nazi.
Yeah, no, I mean well just played. Like even like in the quality of him actually being a Nazi. I mean.
Oh right.
Yeah, he was well played.
Oh yes, absolutely. But there is some subtext to that film.
Christoph Waltz versus Ralph Fiennes.
Yes.
It's a tough call. I mean, they're in two completely different types of movies. One's a serious treatment, the other is not. You can't really compare Schindler's List with Inglourious Basterds very well.
You can't, it's just called Schindler's Pissed.
God damn it.
It's the same action movie, you just renamed it to Schindler's Pissed.
I'm so glad we have that on recording.
It's the best video I've ever seen. No one wants to see an all-white remake of The Color Purple. Sucks for them.
Can you relink me the roller and teach me again how to use it?
I totally read the section on how the dice roller works, but I would also like to hear the explanation of how the
literally all I've been starts. Doing is they tell me what colors to click and how many of them, and then they tell me what they mean.
Okay, that's excellent. Perfect.
That's what we will continue doing.
That's
yay.
What I needed to have happen.
Okay, so basically what's going on is
your basic die is the green die, the purple die is the difficulty die that determines how difficult the check is.
Okay,
so you might roll like 3 ability die and 2 difficulty die.
So yeah, difficulty die offsets ability generally, like
a little bit. The they're basically equivalent. The good dice are slightly better than the bad dice are bad.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then depending on circumstances, most often you would upgrade green dice to yellow dice when you're doing a skill-related check.
And those tend to be better.
Yeah. In a skill-related check, you take the highest of your ability or skill is your green pool, then you upgrade a number of the green pool to yellow dice, depending on your lower number.
Yeah.
Sam, I'm going to give you a thing that's been helpful to me. As I...
Venus.
Yes.
Okay.
Because Nate's not making a lot of use of it?
Oh!
I don't know. I'm sorry, Nate. I love you. I couldn't resist.
So, here you go. This is a thing that...
Oh,
very,
God.
This is a thing that I'm copy-pasting before I try and read it in Skype chat.
Yeah. Just read it. We'll start talking in the Skype chat.
it very I just kind of like very bluntly explained various things.
Yep.
Like general dice rolling.
Yeah. This is still confusing, but I'm sure that as soon as I start rolling dice, this cheat sheet will make more sense.
So the thing,
basically, yeah. It.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just saying the main thing you need to know is that when we ask you to roll a set of dice. like, say you're rolling your range light. What's your range light and your agility?
Range light is 1, agility is 3. So I would roll 1 skill dice and 3 ability dice?
Not quite. You take the bigger number, 3.
Okay.
And that's how many green dice you roll.
Okay.
You take the lower number and turn that many green dice into yellow dice. So for that roll, you'd be rolling 1 yellow and 2 greens.
Gotcha.
So that's the basic skill check mechanic. And if they're equal, you just roll all yellows.
Okay.
Another way of thinking about it is take the lowest number, roll that many yellow dice, roll the difference in green dice.
Either way.
Whichever's helpful.
And the blue dice, the D6s, are your, like, circumstantial bonuses, like aiming and such. And the black dice are your, like, environmental penalties, like darkness or mist.
Gotcha. And then white are force dice, so I probably won't be using those ever.
You'll be using those exactly once a session.
Yeah. Excellent.
And it's so what you can aid Amanda, roll one force die.
Okay.
Roll one force die, huh?
One white.
Okay. I will be rolling them regularly after the session.
But only him.
Is Nate our force user?
Yes.
I am the Jedi.
He is that.
I got two dark side, huh?
I also got two dark side.
Is Jedi in quotation marks there?
Actually, yes.
No, that's
yes, it is.
This role is just a measure of, like, general circumstances.
Right, so we're so dealing with five...
Dark side, man.
Yeah, we're dealing with 5 negative destiny points and 3 positive destiny points.
Excellent.
Yeah, basically anyone in the party can spend a positive destiny point to add what?
You can upgrade a skill check. So you can basically turn one more green into a yellow, or if they're all yellows, you add another green.
Okay. Every time you use one, I get one. Every time I use one, you get one.
There's other stuff you can use it for, but that's the main usage. You can also use it for stuff like, you know, the stuff you could use fate points for, like, is there a ladder in this room?
It's destiny. It was meant to be.
When Jackie Chan...
There needs to be a chandelier to swing from. Boom! Done!
Nate, click that thing I liked.
In a minute.
Okay. Shut up, Josh.
The ladder has mitochondria. The powerhouse of the cell.
Midichlorians.
Also, Sam, to answer your previous question, the character is an apprentice that turned her back on the order.
Excellent.
So, more or less going towards the dark side.
Excellent. Yeah,
I think
more or less just walking the short path.
Party.
I have mostly good goals.
So, that being said, I
yes, he's dedicated to revenge in a good way.
Yeah, revenge.
He's dedicated to justice. I will ensure this party stays on the white side track. I am looking for true love, thank you. There is no nobler cause in the galaxy.
Hey, and I'm very religious.
Yes. What if what you love is terrible? And what if what you worship is terrible?
Hey! I take offense to that.
Also,
who cares what you think? You don't have any points.
Zach, if you proceed to search for true love with the Jedi, guess who is forbidden by her order to marry?
But you're not in the order anymore, so it's okay.
It works for
guess
everybody.
What is dark side is hell.
Sex.
Hey, it's only according to the Old Republic. In the later thing, when Luke reestablishes the Jedi Order, he is actually okay with attachment, with familial and romantic relationships.
Yeah, that's because he wanted to get busy with Mara Jade, like, as soon as fucking possible, like a smart man.
Well, fair. It's all, but come on.
She's kind of a hottie.
It's also because he believes that true strength comes from the people you love and their support for you, and that rather than you being, like, that compromising your judgments.
Luke just wanted some booty. We all know it's Darth. Oh, God damn it, Josh.
Dude, can you... I mean, at what point can you, not blame him? At what point can you not blame Luke for wanting romance, given the fact that every time...
Literally every woman that he's with...
And there's, I think, isn't there, two more in the Extended Universe?
There are, six of them that he...
At least most of them weren't his sister.
Yeah.
There was the initial one, which was his sister, and was like, okay, that sucks.
When he kissed his sister?
Luke just had an affair with the ghost of a Jedi that was psychically, stapled to a ghost ship. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
That happened.
Yep, and then she left when she got a body. Yeah, she lost
she got a
force.
Body and just fucking walked out on him.
As soon as she could walk.
As soon as she could leave, she just left. God, I forgot about that fucking part.
This is the beginning. Nope. This is where the podcast stops being about games and starts being about Star Wars.
Sam,
forever.
Sam, I could tell you something even greater if you want, but that spoils some of the later universe stuff.
Please do. I've read up to Yuuzhan Vong, so I know.
Well, it's past that, but, but if you don't care, I can tell
stuff.
You.
I don't. I'm never gonna read it. So.
Okay. Yeah, she's. It turns out, so she's basically off screen for like 30 or 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out she was eaten by some kind of force eldritch abomination that then later takes her form to tempt Luke.
Oh, God. Oh, oh, oh.
Yep. So she didn't get a happy ending.
So yes, that's basically how it works. If Luke falls in love with a woman, either she dies or is his sister.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
At least most of them died.
Did Jada die? I forget.
Yep.
Yeah, she dies at some point, right?
Yep, she gets killed by his nephew.
Jesus.
When he becomes a Sith Lord.
He has so, the worst.
And she's the only person who could, and she's for a while the only person who sees it. So she goes after him and tries to kill him herself, but gets killed.
Is that Jason or whatever his name is?
Yep, that's Jason.
Jason, yeah. God.
All right. Any other, like, outstanding character business or.
What do you mean, any other outstanding character business? That's just character business at this point, because we've been talking about nothing about this game.
Aside from, you know, my character eventually wanting to best James's in combat or kill him. No. Not a one.
You don't have to kill him, you just have to capture him.
I know, I just have to beat him.
You have to tie him up basically.
Let's not worry about it this time.
Yeah, you have the ship about it. The clunk back of the head. Shove in a bag.
You get one shot. One shot that I'm not expecting.
Make it count.
How could you not be expecting a shot from Sliss?
I am expecting if I also expect she's crafty enough to find a time when I'm worried about something else.
which I feel will be very soon.
That's the end of that statement.
Yeah.
Alright. Recording is going. We have all players. All players have character sheets. Everyone's got the dice roller. Let's kick this shit into gear.
Alright.
Do it.
Do what?
It.
Hello, Internet!
There it is!
We're playing Star Wars.
You're putting this on the Internet?
We're playing Star Wars.
Why not?
Maybe. We'll see.
It's content.
Yeah.
It is content.
We don't have enough of that.
Not at all.
I mean, we can always, we can always record things in case they are content that we have hosted. And
let's,
if they are
let's,
not,
let's
then...
Let's be real. We're always going to put things on the Internet.
That's one true. Day I'm going to ask Matt how many years you could pretend I'm not dead if I die.
I think the current number is 2, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think
okay.
2.
Starting so, over with the introduction.
On that note.
Thanks, Amanda. You really confused me with that tab.
Sorry.
I mean, why doesn't it work?
Yeah. Well, I'm bouncing over it. Why isn't it showing me what it is?
Clearly, I want to go to Butt Blog.
Okay.
To explain to the audience what Vanda means by that.
No, no.
That's just going into side chatter with no context. Don't worry about it.
Also, God damn it! I was looking at the same tab and I thought I was muted because there's a Skype bar with a mute symbol on the browser you posted.
Yeah, that happened to me too. Actually, when I was talking, I'm looking at the mute going, how did that work? Okay,
next time I'll crop out everything.